If you thought Greece was in bad shape, wait till you see what's happening in Italy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The big news that Greece is planning a referendum tanked global markets yesterday and sent borrowing costs higher across Europe. That's particularly a big problem in Italy, where financial officials are holding an emergency meeting today to figure out what to do. Italy's economy is six times the size of Greece's. Reporter Megan Williams is in Rome for us with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we've been focused on Greece, but there's a big meeting today in Italy. Italy's got its own problems. Bring us up to date.
Well, Italy has its own huge problems. As you probably know, the interest rates on Italian bonds have risen to above 6%, which is, 6% for a long time has been considered the point of no return. Italy has a huge debt, 120% of its GDP, and if it just won't be able to repay that debt if interest rates keep as high as they are right now on the sovereign bonds. But now there's huge panic in the country that, you know, it could go under if government reforms aren't pushed through very quickly.
And we always think of Italy in the terms of the European debt crisis as one that's a little better off than Greece or Portugal or Spain, countries like that. Is that still the case?
Well, it is the case in terms of personal finances. I mean, Italians have a lot of savings. They don't have mortgages for the most part. A lot of Italians own outright their homes. So there's not much personal debt. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of the Italian economy is still under the table. A lot of people aren't paying taxes. A lot of people are working illegally. So there's not a big enough tax base. And it makes for a very, very wobbly government finances, which is why Italy has become the target of speculators.
Reporter Megan Williams in Rome. Thanks, Megan.
Thanks.
Well, now to the defunct solar panel maker Solyndra, the one that got a $500 million federal loan guarantee and then went bankrupt. In the San Francisco Bay Area today, auctioneers will be selling off many of the company's assets. Our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports now on the effect a high-profile failure like this has on other alternative energy companies.
It's a tricky moment for an industry that had just been showing signs of life.
I worry that the federal government could very well pull back in terms of funding, political support.
Dan Riker is an energy policy expert at Stanford University. He says belt tightening and partisan fighting were already threatening federal research and development help even before the industry's recent failures. But this might end up attracting private investors, so says Thomas Maslin, an emerging energy analyst at IHS.
Some of them may see the current struggles of the market as an opportunity to gobble up some relatively cheap assets.
Maslin says smaller startups still depend on federal help, though, and President Obama has warned the U.S. risks falling behind.
Other countries are putting enormous subsidies into these companies.
Stanford's Dan Riker says America can't afford to surrender its current lead in R&D funding.
We could very well lose the race to tap into that market and all the jobs that come with it if we don't do for these emerging technologies what for decades we've done for the more traditional technologies.
Riker points out fossil fuels continue to receive billions more in subsidies. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning, up about 0.7% right now in Frankfurt. We're waiting in this country for the Fed to wrap up a two-day meeting, though no big policy announcements are expected. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow plunged 297 points to close at 11,657.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, presenting The Fabric of the Cosmos, a new NOVA series with physicist and author Brian Greene. Starts tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
In Washington today, a bipartisan group of senators is expected to unveil legislation to save the U.S. Postal Service. Not a lot of details yet, but anything would be better than failure for the post office, which is considering some drastic measures to make ends meet, including the closure of some 3,700 post offices across the country. As David Nogueras of Oregon Public Broadcasting reports, that would have a big effect on rural towns.
Homesteaders settled the small landmark town of Fort Rock in central Oregon's high desert in 1905. Jack Swisher, president of the Fort Rock Valley Historical Society, says the town post office opened in 1908. A man named Thomas Roten applied to be Fort Rock's first postmaster.
That put us on the map. He was approved for that. So from March 9th, 1908, to the present time, we've had a post office here.
But many are now worried Fort Rock's only post office might soon be relegated to the history books.
I need stamps, please.
Stamps, okay.
Sherry Blackman says with only a general store, a family restaurant, and a tavern in Fort Rock, closing the post office would be a big deal.
I think it'll have a heck of an impact on our area because, as you can tell, we only have three things in town.
Blackman says she's worried about how she'll get her mail each day. Door-to-door delivery isn't available for everybody out here, and the nearest post office to Fort Rock is more than 30 miles away. Out in the parking lot, Paul Bowers recoils at the mention of a possible closure.
And this is not only a post office. This is where all the farmers' wives come and have a meeting house every day whenever the mail comes in. I mean, this might be the heart and soul of the whole community.
The post office is quick to point out that just making the list doesn't guarantee closure. The Postal Service will look at each office individually to determine if it can provide adequate service without an actual facility. Jack Swisher of the Historical Society says this is about more than just delivering mail and magazines. He says some business owners here are already looking to sell. Should the post office close, he says, it would rip a hole in the town's social fabric.
I think we're going to lose the town. If we lose the post office, we've lost something big.
The post office says closures could come as early as this December. In Bend, Oregon, I'm David Nogueras for Marketplace.
And if you've got comments about anything you hear on Marketplace Morning Report, go to our website, marketplace.org, and click on the link that says Contact. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal with Marketplace.
And I'm Justin Rowlatt with the BBC World Service's Business Daily. Tune in for a joint venture of sorts.
A look at why everything is global, from what's happening in the Eurozone
to what's happening next door.
When people place orders a month in advance, I have to say, okay, it might be this price, but it could be this price if the euro goes back up.
All that and more from Marketplace
and the BBC
on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.